Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
COVID-19 news by the numbers. Hector County total cases, both confirmed and probable, 11,543. Hector County negative, 37,671. Out of 49,695 tested, with 481 pending, 193 deaths. Recovered, 9,711. Active, 1,651. ECISD, daily cases, 5 students, 11 staff. U.S. cases, 22,322,956. Total confirmed, and 373,167 deaths. Find out more at co.hector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/tztrjlf. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/y6ntptuq. 347 days. For 347 days, the city has fought a lawsuit brought by the Odessa American to enforce the state law that guarantees the public's right to see basic police records. Through January 6th, the city has spent $112,138.47 of taxpayers' dollars to fight releasing information on crime in Odessa. I'm reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, January 11th, 2021. Section A, page 3. Volunteers needed. OA News at OAOA.com. Casa de Amigos are in need of volunteers for the tax season. Volunteers are offered training, no experience needed. The Casa de Amigos Volunteer Income Tax Assistance, VITA, program offers free income tax preparation to individuals and families who make less than $57,000. Tax preparation runs from February through April. For more information, call Alfredo Chaparro at 432-682-9701 or email achaparro at casadeamigosmidland.org. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American, Section A, page 7, for Tuesday, January 12th. 2021. Woman charged with 5 felonies. OA News at OAOA.com. The 39-year-old woman arrested after she was in a standoff with the Odessa Police Department near Odessa High School on Friday was also reportedly in possession of 52.5 grams of methamphetamine. Sevita Aguilar was charged with aggravated assault against a public servant, a first-degree felony, burglary of a habitation to intend other felony, a first-degree felony, manufacturing or delivery of a controlled substance, a first-degree felony, evading arrest with a vehicle, a third-degree felony, and tampering or fabricating physical evidence with intent to impair, a third-degree felony. The reported incident began at 12:22 p.m. January 8th, when Odessa Police Department Corporal Macon Cuellar was driving a marked police vehicle in a full police uniform and attempted to stop a red 2000 Chevrolet truck in the area of 9th Street and Lee Avenue, an OPD probable cause affidavit indicated. The female driver was reportedly later identified as Aguilar, who started to evade in the vehicle. Corporal Cuellar located the vehicle and saw Aguilar evading on foot while discarding property. Aguilar pointed a black-colored handgun at Cuellar as he pursued Aguilar, the affidavit stated. Cuellar discharged his duty weapon in Aguilar's direction. Aguilar reportedly entered a residence in the 1500 block of North Allegheny Avenue while brandishing the firearm and concealed herself in the bathroom. Aguilar told the occupants of the residence to be quiet. The occupants retreated in fear for their lives. The residence was surrounded and Aguilar eventually surrendered, the affidavit stated. Aguilar was taken into custody with incident. Aguilar made statements against her own penal interest, and she stated that she, quote, should have started a shootout, end quote, and later told an officer, quote, pussy, I should have shot y'all, B, blank, 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 A, blank, blank. Officers reportedly obtained written consent to search from the homeowners, and a black-colored Walther PPX 9mm was found from the immediate vicinity from where Aguilar was hiding. During a search of the area that Aguilar discarded property, a black magnetic box was found, the affidavit stated. The box contained plastic bags with a total of 52.5 grams of methamphetamine. In addition to the packaged narcotics, there was additional packaging, which is consistent with narcotic sales and distribution. Aguilar was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center at 10:29 p.m. January 8th. Jail records show she has five bonds totaling $180,000 and was still in custody as of Monday afternoon. Man charged with assaulting girlfriend over chopsticks. OA News at OAOA.com. An Odessa Police Department affidavit detailed that a 37-year-old man reportedly assaulted his girlfriend two times in less than a month, with the second assault happening after an argument over chopsticks. Louis Nathaniel Adami was charged with continuous violence against the family, a third-degree felony. The second reported assault happened November 12th, as Cami Salgado stated her boyfriend, who she identified as Adami, had assaulted her, the affidavit stated. Salgado stated she and Adami were at home when an argument started over some chopsticks that she found in the kitchen. Salgado reportedly told police that Adami had been drinking and he got hostile with her and he assaulted her by placing his hands around her neck area. Salgado stated she attempted to leave the apartment when Adami tackled her onto the floor and the assault continued. Salgado stated she was finally able to get away and Adami left the apartment, the affidavit stated. She stated her breathing wasn't impeded, but she had a scratch on her neck and upper chest area. She also had bruises on her arms when Adami held her down on the floor. Prior to this assault on October 10th, Salgado reported to OPD that Adami had assaulted her and choked her, causing pain and injury, the affidavit stated. Salgado stated during this incident that her neck popped three times due to being choked. Adami was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on January 7th, jail records show. He had one bond totaling $20,000 and posted bail on January 8th. Man charged with stabbing pregnant girlfriend. OA News at OAOA.com. A 24-year-old man was arrested after he reportedly choked his girlfriend and stabbed her while she was 8 months pregnant. Izaha Tremayo Norman was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, family violence, a first-degree felony, and assault by impeding breathing or circulation, family violence, a third-degree felony. The assaults were reported to the Ector County Sheriff's Office by the victim's mother, who was identified as Melinda Guerrero. The 21-year-old victim was identified as M.G. The Odessa American sent a formal Freedom of Information request to the Ector County Sheriff's Office for the identity of M.G. Guerrero reportedly detailed to deputies that she received text messages from M.G. on December 30th, stating she had lied about Norman assaulting her and she was scared for her life. Yetto stated MG then told her that Norman had hit her in the face several times and choked her twice, caused her to lose breath and almost faint. MG sent her mother photographs of her face where she had healing bruises on her right eye and on her top and bottom lip, the affidavit stated. MG also had marks on both sides of her neck. During the investigation, MG was reportedly able to come to ECSO and provide a recorded video statement. MG detailed in her statement that Norman had come home after being with friends on December 25th, and he saw her charging a phone that he didn't know she had. MG stated it started a verbal argument, and Norman left their residence in the 5700 block of Denard Street. MG stated at 2:30 a.m. December 26th that Norman arrived back at the residence and woke her up, the affidavit stated. MG stated he began yelling at her and accused her of cheating. She stated she got up to leave the room when he grabbed her by her hair and threw her back on the bed. MG reportedly detailed that Norman climbed on top of her, straddling her, then placed both of his hands around her neck and began squeezing so tight she was losing breath, which caused her to almost pass out. MG stated that Norman released his hands, causing her to gasp for air before he grabbed her by her hair again, throwing her on the floor beside the bed, again straddling her and choking her again until she lost consciousness, the affidavit detailed. MG stated Norman then hit her on the left side of her face multiple times, causing her left eye, lips, and cheeks to swell, bruise, and bleed. MG reportedly told deputies that this isn't the first time Norman... MG stated in October 2020, Norman became angry with her and placed a kitchen knife to the left side of her chest above her heart and told her, "I could kill if I wanted to." MG stated Norman pushed the knife into her chest, which penetrated her skin and caused her physical pain and bodily injury. MG stated she was 8 months pregnant with her son and went to the doctor the next day. However, she never told anyone until she told her mom due to her being scared for her life, the affidavit stated. After deputies spoke with MG, ECSO investigators reportedly reached out to Norman. Norman stated he would be willing to come speak with investigators. However, he was out of town and was uncertain when he would be back to Odessa. Norman was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on January 9th, jail records show. He has two bonds, totaling $125,000, and was still in custody as of Monday afternoon. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, January 12th, 2021. Page 2, read. Equity Task Force Presentation Set. OA News at OAOA.com. Presentations from the Equity Task Force and on a proposal for 3-year-old pre-kindergarten students are scheduled to be heard by the Ector County ISD Board of Trustees during their workshop today. The gathering is scheduled for 6 p.m. in the first floor boardroom of the administration building, 802 North Sam Houston Avenue. Everyone is required to stop at the front desk, have their temperature taken, and answer screening questions prior to accessing building. Visitors are required to wear a face mask. The task force has been studying discipline and suspensions. The data showed African American students, who make up 4% of ECISD's student population, were a disproportionately large percentage of out-of-school suspensions, in-school suspensions, and alternative placements. Among the points supplemental agenda material shows is that the average stay in district alternative education placement has decreased by 11 days in the 2020-2021 school year among all groups of students. Supplemental agenda material said out-of-school suspensions are no longer part of the District Alternative Education Placement Program. The task force was formed in early 2020 after a presentation to the board showing discipline was disproportionately given to African-American students compared to other student groups. On a separate item, the district issued a call for quality schools in 2020 to identify high-capacity partner organizations for middle school turnaround to improve student outcomes, as well as partners with experience operating high-quality pre-kindergarten 3 models to serve 3-year-old students in ECISD for the 2021-22 school year, the material said. The district plans to serve 1,000 3-year-olds starting next fall, but it needs partners partly because of lack of space. The Odessa Family YMCA is set to present tonight. Senate Bill 1882 went into effect during 2017 to encourage districts to use partnerships to improve student outcomes by offering 2 benefits. Approved partnerships may receive additional state funding for the partnership school, and schools with an unacceptable accountability rating are eligible to receive a 2-year exemption from specific accountability interventions. A call for quality schools is a requirement in the application to receive SB 1882 funds. Proposals also were sought for a partner to help turn around Bonham Middle School, which is now in its 5th year of improvement required under state accountability standards. A presentation on ECISD's career and technical education programs is also on the agenda. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, January 12th, 2021. Opinion. Worldview. Julian Assange's extradition ruling, relief, not victory. The point. A judge has rightly rejected the U.S. request, but only on mental health grounds. The case should be dropped. Donald Trump is using his last days in office to pardon those who do not deserve it. Among the most egregious recipients are the Blackwater security guards responsible for the Nassau Square massacre, the killing of unarmed civilians, including children, in Iraq. The president's decision fits a pattern. Just over a year ago, he pardoned a former Army lieutenant found guilty of murder after ordering his men to fire at 3 Afghans, and a former U.S. Army commando facing trial over the killing of a suspected bomb maker. There has been no such mercy shown to a man whom the U.S. is pursuing after he cast an unforgiving light on its abuses in Iraq and Afghanistan. Julian Assange's future is dependent upon the decisions of British courts. Last Monday, District Judge Vanessa Baretzer ruled that the WikiLeaks founder could not be extradited to the U.S., where he has been charged under the Espionage Act, including for publishing classified material. But she rejected defense arguments that the prosecution had misrepresented the facts and that he was being pursued for a political offense. She ruled against extradition only on the grounds that the risk of him killing himself was substantial, given his mental health and the conditions in which he was likely to be held, in isolation in a supermax high-security prison. This decision is a relief for Mr. Assange and his family, but it is no cause for celebration for the defendant and his supporters, or for those concerned about press freedom more broadly. The American Civil Liberties Union has described charging him over publication as a direct assault on the First Amendment. The ruling offers no protection to any journalist who might find themselves in Mr. Assange's position. It is no victory for the right to share material of clear public interest. Mr. Assange's lawyers applied for bail on Wednesday on his behalf and were denied. Legal experts suggested that his chances were poor. He served a 50-week sentence for skipping bail after police removed him from the Ecuadorian embassy in London, where he had fled to avoid extradition to Sweden over a sexual assault investigation that was subsequently dropped. But his prospects of avoiding extradition now appear considerably brighter. He has a family to consider, and his mental health and the physical risks posed by COVID in Belmarsh Prison, where he has been held since April 2019, make the case for bail more pressing. Legal proceedings are likely to drag on for years unless the U.S. chooses to scrap these charges rather than appeal. It should do so. There is a shameful contrast between this administration's simultaneous pardoning of men for horrific offenses and the pursuit of a man who exposed war crimes. When Joe Biden takes office on 20 January, he cannot undo the damage caused by undue and unjust lenience. But he can and should let Mr. Assange walk free. The Guardian. Mike Pence needs to save the country from Trump. After 3 years and 50 weeks of meekly deferring to Donald Trump, Mike Pence finally ran out of patience last Tuesday. Trump demanded that the vice president block Congress certification of Joe Biden's election victory, and Pence gave his answer, no. That refusal so infuriated Trump that he appeared at a rally in Washington, castigated his long-suffering subordinate, and urged followers to march on the U.S. Capitol. You'll never take back our country with weakness, he bellowed. Soon after, a mob was smashing windows, attacking police, and invading the Senate chamber, forcing Pence and others to seek safety. Pence can't escape responsibility for Trump's abominable reign, but it's not too late to do a service to his country that no one else can do. Call on the cabinet to invoke the 25th Amendment, strip the president of his powers, and urge congressional Republicans to agree. If he and the cabinet were to act, Pence would take over until Congress decides otherwise, which it might not do by January 20th when Biden takes over. Pence took an oath to, quote, support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, end quote. After Trump's treacherous incitement of mob action against elected representatives of the American people, it is beyond doubt that one of the most dangerous enemies occupies the Oval Office. But Trump does not have to be allowed to remain in power. The 25th Amendment could immediately remove the threat he poses to the peace and health of our constitutional republic. Nothing can happen, though, without the leadership of the vice president. It may seem pointless to evict Trump now, given the vast damage he has already done and the limited time he has. But we have learned repeatedly that it is folly to underestimate his capacity for destructive mayhem. Every day he remains in power is a day that the nation is exposed to horrendous hazards. He is the most powerful person on earth. He is reckless beyond measure, and his looming eviction may spur him to new heights of irrationality. What could go wrong in the time he has left? Trump could start a war with Iran, something that has long allured him. He raised the possibility with his advisors shortly after losing the election. Iran's recent decision to increase its enrichment of uranium beyond levels allowed in the 2015 nuclear deal could be his excuse. Last month, the New York Times reported, since Mr. Trump dismissed Defense Secretary Mark T. Esper and other top Pentagon aides last week, Defense Department and other national security officials have privately expressed worries that the president might initiate operations, whether overt or secret, against Iran or other adversaries at the end of his term. Trump finally issued a statement Thursday promising, quote, an orderly transition on January 20th, end quote. But given his past obstinacy and his volatile nature, it would be unwise to bet the nation's future on that grudging commitment. He could just as easily call on his followers to flood into the Capitol to prevent Biden's inauguration. As long as he remains president, Trump also has the power to dispense executive clemency like Halloween candy. He could pardon more Confederates and war criminals, and he could grant himself a pardon, which might or might not be valid. If I were one of the deranged marauders who forced their way into the Capitol and pillaged congressional offices, I would be appealing to Trump to spare me and my accomplices from going to jail. And who would be surprised if Trump agreed? On Wednesday, asking the rioters to go home, he added, quote, "We love you. You're very special," end quote. Reckless choices and gross abuses are not the only risk. Trump has been largely AWOL for the last 2 months, even as a raging pandemic kills thousands of Americans every day. When the federal government was hit by a massive cyber attack, he shrugged it off. If some international or national crisis erupts in the coming days, Trump cannot be trusted to handle it responsibly. He has no interest in his job beyond hanging on to it by any means necessary. He has abdicated his most rudimentary responsibilities. I suspect no one knows this better than his vice president. Pence will be remembered for helping the nation descend into the toxic turmoil of the Trump presidency. But he could also be remembered for getting us out. Stephen Chapman. Chapman writes for the Chicago Tribune, as well as being a syndicated columnist. Find out more. Read Chapman's daily blog, www.chicagotribune.com/news/opinion/Chapman. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, January 12th, 2021. Obituary. Cheryl Thompson Brown. Midland. Cheryl Brown, 65, beloved wife, mother, grandmother, and sister, was called to her eternal resting place on January 8, 2021. She entered this world on October 4, 1955, in Odessa, Texas, born to Jack and Nettie Lee Thompson. She is survived by her spouse, Thomas Brown, daughter, Shauna Keith, and her husband, Jamie Keith, sister, Delene Mahan, brothers Tommy Thompson and Charlie Thompson, and grandsons Tyler Brown and James Keith. Funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. Wednesday, January 13, 2021, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home Chapel, with Jennifer Mahan Woodall officiating. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Pallbearers will be Jamie Keith, Tyler Brown, James Keith, Landry Berggren, Jason Mahan, and Chris Brown. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign her guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Death Notices. Jose Luis Guerra, Sr. Odessa. Jose Luis Guerra, G-U-E-R-R-A, Senior, 55, of Odessa, died Sunday, January 3, 2021, in Odessa. Celebration of life will be held at 1 p.m. Thursday, January 14, 2021, at Hope Alive Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa 2 section. Pastor Cliff Armand is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. William Alton Scooter Lane, Odessa. William Alton Scooter Lane, 60, of Odessa, died Sunday, December 27, 2020, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Manuel Mendoza, Odessa. Manuel Mendoza, 70, of Odessa, died Monday, December 28, 2020, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Thursday, January 14, 2021, at Martinez Funeral Home Chapel. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa 2 section. Pastor Rudy Vasquez is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Vivian S. Godfather Reyes, Odessa. Vivian S. Godfather Reyes, 70, died Thursday, January 7, 2021, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Tim Trevino, Midland. Tim Trevino, 34, of Midland, died Thursday, December 31, 2020, in Midland. Celebration of life will be held at 6 p.m., January 13, 2021, at American Heritage Funeral Home Chapel. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, January 12, 2021. Education section. Midland College Profiles by Rebecca Bell. MC student looks beyond COVID to future success. When talking to Sydney Holder, one would think she is older than her 19 years. Her calm demeanor and logical outlook on life are more typical of someone 20 or 30 years older. Even her hobbies are those of an older person. She enjoys making candles, knitting, baking bread, and making jewelry. However, like many young women her age, she admits to an obsession with The Bachelorette television show. Holder graduated from Greenwood High School in May 2019. While in high school, she was active in theater, student council, Interact Rotary Club, and journalism. When she entered Midland College in the fall of 2019, she immediately became involved with students in philanthropy. She currently serves as the public relations chair for MC's chapter of Phi Theta Kappa Honor Society. I have had the privilege to have Cindy in the classroom and to work with her in Phi Theta Kappa, said Terry Gilmore, government professor and director of the MC Honors Program. She is an absolute dream student leader. Of course, she is an excellent student, but her upbeat personality and her dedication to every endeavor she tackles are contagious to all around her. She is such an asset to Midland College. I chose Midland College because of affordability and many scholarships that are available, she said. In addition to Pell Grant funding, I've also been awarded the Students in Philanthropy Scholarship, the Marion and Jan Jones Scholarship, and I was awarded a scholarship from the college's General Scholarship Fund by the McGarry-Reagan Foundation. I certainly have not regretted the decision to attend Midland College. I've gotten a quality education, and I love the MC community. The staff and teachers want to see students succeed. They are vested in my personal success. Gilmore is one of the faculty who Holder said has helped her the most. Not only is Dr. Gilmore a great teacher, but she's also a mentor. She has good advice for everyday life. This coming May, Holder will graduate from Midland College and transfer to Texas Tech, where she will major in history. Her ultimate goal is to attend law school and become an attorney. I love history, she said. History is the study of the sum of human experience. It's concerned with the past and its present legacy. I've always wanted to be a lawyer. I'm a fan of true crime. My mom wanted to be a lawyer, but life happened and it didn't work out for her. I guess it's in my DNA. Holder is the daughter of Sharon Holder of Midland and Chris Holder of Abilene. Sharon is a librarian at James R. Brooks Middle School in Greenwood, and Chris works in the oil and gas industry. Her younger sister, Brady, is 16 and a junior at Greenwood High School. Family is important to Sydney Holder. In fact, 2 days a week, she travels to Big Lake to care for her grandfather, Jerry Floyd, which includes taking him to doctor's offices and grocery shopping in nearby San Angelo. The COVID pandemic hit Holder and her family hard. Her grandmother, Billy Ruth Floyd, contracted COVID in a long-term care facility in Big Lake and passed away on July 7th. In addition, Holder has not been able to find a part-time job. This past summer, she worked approximately 35 hours a week as a barista at a Big Bear coffee shop in Silverton, Colorado. When she returned to Midland, she found there were no job opportunities available. I've had part-time jobs since I was 16, she explained. While I was in high school, I worked for Jason's Deli, and then last year, I worked at Smoothie King. When an opportunity arose for me to spend the summer in Colorado with family friends and work at their coffee shop, I was thrilled to be able to take it. I had no idea that when I returned to Midland, I would have so much trouble finding a job. Holder said she also struggled with online courses. I took online courses last fall before the pandemic, and I missed the face-to-face interaction with other students and teachers. So I enrolled in all face-to-face classes for last spring semester. Then the pandemic hit, and all my courses were converted to online. In the fall, a lot of people chose online courses because of the fear of catching COVID, but I preferred to just go ahead and enroll in the traditional face-to-face options. They work much better for me. One of her favorite classes this past fall was physical geology, taught by Joan Grolowski. Sydney is a hard worker in the classroom and does quality work, Grolowski said. She always has a smile, goes the extra mile, and it's all done with a smile. Despite the obstacles brought about by the pandemic, Sydney Holder still maintains a bright outlook for her future. As she enters her last semester at Midland College, Holder looks forward to a promising future at Texas Tech and then law school. Exercise your power to choose the right school for your children. A commentary by Jill McCall, Midland ISD. New Year's Day is often a time when we reflect back upon the previous year and set new goals for the coming year. For some, this means resolving to work out more or eat right. For me, I have resolved to make my family a priority and spend more time together. No matter what your goal for 2021 is, it is based on an important concept, the power to choose. Despite the obstacles that may get in the way, we all have the power to choose where we spend our time, energy, and resources. This same concept applies to education, a building block to success later in life. Midland ISD offers family the ability to choose the educational experience they desire. Within MISD, there are more than 10 schools of choice. These are schools from elementary to high school that students and their families can opt in to instead of attending a neighborhood school. Got a kiddo who wants to be the next Steven Spielberg? We've got a studio at Pease Communications and Technology Academy where they can try their hand at video production. More of a Steve Jobs tech wizard type? Washington STEM Academy has them covered. For older kids, there are options to explore a single-gender environment or get a head start on college courses at the nationally recognized early college high school. The time to choose these options for next year is now. Apply MidlandISD.net/apply is MISD's online application system for researching, applying to, and accepting a seat at the schools of choice. For those who need help evaluating their choices, MISD's first ever School Choice Fair will be held virtually on January 14th. This virtual fair will enable students and parents to virtually meet campus leaders and ask questions in real time. The power to choose one's own path in life is powerful. I encourage all Midland families to take advantage of the opportunities for students to own their educational journey and make the choices that support their goals and aspirations.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Sunday, January 10th, 2021. Other Voices, Section A, page 7, Odessa American for Sunday, January 10th, 2021. 2021 Legislative Session Preview by State Representative Brooks Landgraf. The first session of the Texas Legislature since 2019 will kick off on Tuesday. This will be a session for the history books. The challenges facing the Texas Legislature are not unprecedented. We've dealt with budget deficits and redistricting many times. The legislature has even met during a pandemic. As unique as this session will be, when it comes down to it, my objective will be the same as any other. On January 12th, the 150 members of the Texas House of Representatives will take a solemn oath to the people of Texas. I will proudly stand with my hand on my heart as the oath of office is administered. I, Brooks Landgraf, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the duties of the office of member of the House of Representatives of the 87th Legislature of the State of Texas, and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States and of this state, so help me God. Before any vote is cast, we take an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution, imploring for God's help in order to do so. I take this oath seriously and understand that my fundamental role as your state representative is to protect the constitutional rights of Texans. The gravity of this responsibility is not lost on me for a second. The only constitutional requirement of the Texas legislature is to pass a balanced state budget for the upcoming 2 years. Passing a balanced budget will be more challenging than in sessions past, as the legislature faces a budget crunch in 2021. This provides an opportunity to cut spending, starting with the state's most wasteful and inefficient expenditures. Taxing Texans is certainly not the answer. While some areas of the budget must be cut, other areas must be protected. I will fight to prioritize funding for education and transportation, especially in the Permian Basin. Our public schools are molding the next generation of Texans, and the state's highway system are the arteries of the Texas economy. Investments in these areas benefit Texas families and businesses immediately and into the future. In addition to the budget process, the legislature will also consider a number of bills and resolutions. I have already filed a handful of bills that will be considered in the next few months. The first bill I filed is aimed at protecting Texans in the event of a mass shooting. House Bill 103, if passed, will create a statewide active shooter alert system. The need for such a system was made abundantly clear after the tragic events of August 31st, 2019. I hope to honor the victims of that shooting and protect the lives and constitutional rights of all Texans through this legislation. I've also filed legislation to curtail the ability of bureaucracies to operate in the shadows during times of disaster. House Bill 665 will increase transparency by requiring legislative oversight of any emergency rules adopted by state agencies during times of disaster. The hospital visitation rule that prevented so many Texans from being able to be with their loved ones during their last moments was not a law adopted by an elected body or even an executive order issued by the governor. It was a decision made behind closed doors by an unelected bureaucracy. If passed, HB 665 will ensure there is sufficient public oversight over state agencies during times of disaster in Texas, so that this sort of thing never happens again. In addition to these legislative priorities, I am committed to reducing the negative impact of Robin Hood on school districts in the oil patch, repealing STAR as a high-stakes standardized test, and fighting for the interests of West Texas in the redistricting process. I'm also actively exploring ways to strengthen the integrity of our elections in Texas so that we can serve as a model for the rest of the country. It is an honor to serve as your state representative. Rest assured, I will be working on your behalf this session to make Texas the best state in which to work, live, and raise a family. God bless Texas. Treatment needed for pain in hands. Dear Dr. Roach, I would like to know how to treat arthritis. I have been using Voltaren per my doctor's orders, but it does not seem to be helping much. I have also been taking ibuprofen, but I am afraid of stomach bleeding. The arthritis is in my wrists and thumb. I can hardly open a doorknob or lift any small objects. Does turmeric help? I would appreciate any advice you can give me. It is hard to do any cooking or housework using my hands. They ache and throb all day. MV. Answer. There are several different types of arthritis of the hand, And it sounds as though your doctor has made the diagnosis of osteoarthritis, which is the most common type. Rheumatoid arthritis and psoriatic arthritis are inflammatory varieties that require very different therapies. Blood testing and x-rays help separate the different types of arthritis from one another if your history and physical exam indicate the need. If you have osteoarthritis, oral anti-inflammatory medicines like Voltaren or ibuprofen, but never both, taking two different NSAIDs orally, adds only toxicity, not effectiveness, are common and often effective treatments. Voltaren is also available as a gel, and it's okay to use both Voltaren gel and a different oral NSAID, such as ibuprofen. The gel is poorly absorbed into the body and is very unlikely to have systemic side effects. However, remember that exercise improves pain and function. One set of exercises specifically for hand arthritis from the Mayo Clinic can be found at tinyurl.com/mayo-hand. That's tinyurl.com/mayo-hand. You asked about turmeric. There are studies showing benefit for turmeric, and it has little toxicity, so I think it is worth a try. Similarly, Boswellia supplements have shown benefit in some people with osteoarthritis. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, January 12, 2021, etc. Mom threatens divorce after teens find their dad's stash. Dear Abby, my husband and I are going on 19 years of marriage and have three teenage girls. We have had multiple rounds of marriage counseling, mostly with good results, although the benefits seem to be short-lived. Most of our problems have stemmed from my husband's drinking or smoking pot. He's not abusive, he's a good provider, but he just likes to get high. Thank God it's not often, but I'm not, nor have I ever been, okay with it. Our girls recently found his pot stash and helped themselves. When I questioned them about where they got it, they admitted they found their dad's stash. For me, this is the last straw. How can I teach my kids this is not okay when their dad's actions say otherwise? I'm now made out to be the prude since apparently I'm no fun. I'm a nurse, and even if it were legal in our state, I wouldn't use it. I told my husband that I'm done and I'm ready for a divorce. He says I'm being ridiculous. Do I need to lighten up? I think I already know your answer, but I just need to see it to validate my feelings. Anti-drug wife and mom. Dear anti-drug, although marijuana may be legal in an increasing number of states, supplying drugs to minors is against the law in all of them. What happened cannot and should not be ignored, but ending a good marriage because your husband likes to use pot occasionally seems extreme. It may take more visits to a marriage and family therapist for you to agree to disagree on this, but it is very important that your daughters be disabused of the idea that what they did was okay with either of you. It's time you and your husband form a united front, and he needs to find a better place to keep his stash. Dear Abby, because of the recent COVID-19 crisis, my wife and I, like so many others, have been stuck at home. I have asked her questions about former boyfriends and lovers. She told me some things, but when I bring it up now, she gets defensive and accuses me of belittling her and bringing back memories she has asked God to help her forget. I feel I am owed an explanation since they all took place while we were dating, including with my best friend and with a house sitter after we were married. Am I wrong to bring it up after many years and a great marriage? P.S. It's eating at me. And her stonewalling by saying I can't remember is frustrating, especially because all her friends talk about her great memory. Depressed in Texas. Dear Depressed, yes, you are wrong because this isn't getting you anywhere positive. In fact, it's the opposite. If you are looking for a divorce after, quote, many years and a great marriage, end quote, keep digging. While your wife's poor judgment and infidelity are deeply regrettable, the two of you managed to build a life together and move beyond it. Sometimes people forget what they need to forget in order to function. Accept it and use your quarantine time to do something more positive than playing 20 questions. Dear Abby, Abigail Van Buren, write Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069, or visit www.dearabby.com.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun and moon in Capricorn. Happy birthday for Tuesday, January 12, 2021. Professional, inspirational, and committed, you're all in when it comes to your career, to the point of self-sacrifice. You do so well that you're often the leader in your field. This year, you go out on an unusual branch and become famous for it. If single, you're such a workaholic, your mate would have to share you. If attached, you find a lasting kind of happiness. Taurus is calming for you. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 3 stars. Rise to the occasion if there is an element of the unexpected at work. A sense of humor helps with unpredictable coworkers. Be well informed about new developments in your field. Capitalize on valuable contacts. Tonight, remember, you are not an island. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 3 stars. You'll be inventive, will communicate well, and can initiate improvement at work. Your willingness to experiment impresses the right people. Friends voice new goals. There could be a turnover at work. Tonight, you must be patient if new coworkers need extra help. Gemini, May 21 through June 20, 4 stars. Patience is a must regarding a cherished project. Be discreet about voicing controversial ideas. Integrate old experiences with advice from others to find the best direction. Folk wisdom and tradition provide insight. Tonight, you share a secret with another. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 3 stars. You'll be swept along by the plans of partners. When in doubt, listen to what your spirit confirms as right. It's a day to let others ask for advice before you offer it. Adapt and cooperate. Teamwork is the key to success. Tonight, relax. Leo, July 23 through August 22, 4 stars. Working conditions may be less than perfect. Adapt and develop an accepting attitude. You'll have a special rapport with pets as well as wild creatures. The loving care you extend to them will be richly rewarded. Tonight, they'll show appreciation in unexpected ways. Virgo, August 23 through September 22, 5 stars. Your own offspring or youngsters belonging to friends share their wisdom and wit in a memorable manner. Wholesome recreation renews you for serious projects. Take the day off if you're able. Tonight, let go of old habits to prepare for a fresh new beginning. Libra, September 23 through October 22, 4 stars. You will recognize new needs expressed by family members. Adopt a live-and-let-live attitude in coping with an independent or eccentric relative. Bring a spiritual, healing atmosphere to the home. Tonight, don't let yourself be swayed by well-meant advice. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21, 4 stars. Today brings emails and calls from an old friend. You're brought up to date on juicy gossip, as well as career leads. Double-check details of information received. There could be a colorful exaggeration or two to sift through. Tonight, your efficiency inspires confidence. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21, 4 stars. A chance to add to your income may come your way today. Budgeting problems are solved. The financial future brightens. Your energy level rises. You'll be seeking an outlet for your inner enthusiasm. Tonight, be patient with family members. Someone is a little volatile. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 5 stars. Your charm will carry you a long way today. The pleasant impression you are projecting can open doors to preferments you have long deserved. An old friend puts in a kind word. Combine friendly interaction with business matters. Tonight, online networking. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 4 stars. Peace and quiet help you find a sense of direction today. You have ideas concerning future plans that others aren't receptive to just yet. Natural beauty in a wilderness setting helps you align your inner rhythms. Tonight, positive feedback makes you feel good about yourself. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 5 stars. Others see you as a role model today. You'll be more confident, goal-oriented, and doing some extra commuter travel. Vitality is high, and you can accomplish a great deal. You won't enjoy solitude, preferring action to tranquility. Tonight, seeking out companions. Born today, artist John Singer Sargent, 1856, boxer Joe Frazier, 1944, entrepreneur Jeff Bezos, 1964.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.